Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. As we get ready for our weekly session, our time with Tim, talking to Harvard head coach Tim Murphy, a look back, not happily, a look back to last Saturday, but a look ahead to this Saturday as the Crimson move on the penultimate game with Penn, winding down the 2022 campaign. Coach, as we welcome you in, one of those days where you can add it all up, and if you looked at everything but the final point total, you would think that it came out with the Crimson in the left column. But a couple of breakdowns and some things that I know you've been kind of scratching your head about translated into a really disappointing, frustrating one-point loss.
Yeah, Bernie, about as frustrating a loss as I can remember in a while. You know, as a 5-0 team with momentum going into the game, having won four games on the road, a very challenging loss. And I think the common denominator in our five wins going into the game were multiple, you know, good defense and multiple Harvard offense TDs in the second half. And despite having our top three wide receivers out with injuries, I thought we you know, had a very manageable field goal to win the game at the very end, and that it got down to that point, it just shouldn't have, but we didn't execute well enough, and very, very frustrating and unusual day with the field goal unit. We got three blocked, and, you know, in two different ways, and there's a combination of issues, you know, that involves. It's never as simple as one thing, but extremely frustrating. It's quite simply, it's a game we should have won.
And looking at what you were able to accomplish, I mean, if there's any kind of a silver lining, our theme last week was, how could it not be facing Columbia, number one in the nation? You pointed out just 2.5 yards per rushing attempt, and you rushed for 4.4 per attempt, almost 200 yards on the ground. Bourget over 100 and over 1,000 for the season. On all, you checked all those boxes on the offensive side. It was impressive. I joked with you last week. I said, well, with the depletion of the wide receiver position, it was going to be ground Murph, and you really executed well in the running game in particular. And again, the offensive line stepping up and taking it to another level.
Yeah, Bernie, like we said, coming in with our top three receivers out, Kim Wimberly, who was leading the Ivy League and with 50 receptions and multiple touchdowns with a very athletic Ledger Hatchout, and then also Scotty Woods. Yeah, it was a challenge, but we took on the challenge, and despite those challenges, we played really well at times. We ran the ball well. We threw the ball particularly well. But if you look at the two things that really cost us in this particular game were third downs and, you know, the extraordinarily crazy situation of having three field goals blocked. Like I said, never seen anything like it in my life, and you know, certainly won't forget it.
You talk about every coach about next man up when you do get hit with injuries at a certain position, and you had some contributions from a number of different guys. I'm sure it was heartening for you. Before we talk about the young impact guy, how about Joe Young, who I believe had not caught a ball since before COVID back in 2019? Had a nice afternoon with you with three big catches from Joe.
Yeah, it was great for Joe to see. He's a kid who's, you know, struggled with injuries, had some really frustrating setbacks, but a great kid, tremendous person. And to see him come out with, you know, about Kim Ledger and Scotty Woods in there, you know, to play at a high level was just tremendous. And then when you throw the two freshmen, Cooper Barkade, in there, who was a very highly recruited kid, a three-star out of the great high school program out of Day in Southern California, to see Cooper come out, you know, play like an upperclassman. You know, we certainly miss those other guys, but to have the depth and have the kids from a character standpoint step up was really reassuring.
Future looks bright there, Coach. We'd heard a lot about Barkate and about, obviously, his talent, his ability, and really saw it on display. He had five catches for over 100, and saw, I think, all of the elements that he can bring to your offense in that 49-yard reception. There was a lot of things that happened there for Cooper Barkay that lead you to believe that he's going to be a big impact guy for this program.
Well, he should be an impact guy. I say that based on the premise that, as I mentioned, out of Mater Dei, he was a three-sport. He was a three-star kid that had some FBS offers. And I think the person we have to thank the most for recruiting him was his sister, Maddie, who was an outstanding player on the Harvard women's lacrosse team. And I'm not sure without Maddie here that he would be here. But a great kid. And, you know, he's a very quiet kid in a very good context. And, you know, for him to come out and, you know, be thrown into that situation and be able to execute as well as he did was really impressive. And it certainly bodes well for our future.
And despite the results, and I mean, it's all about, obviously, the final score, I'm suspecting that you got to have great pride in this offensive line, the way they've come together, and bodes well here coming into the last couple of games. As far as the unit and just the development of the unit from week to week this year, Coach?
No question about it. We see something different every week. You know, people are going to try to stop the run, that starting point. I think with any defense, it's certainly going to be with one with a guy like Aiden Bourguet and Sone Nota. But that group has done a tremendous job, whether it be Alec Bank at left tackle, Jake Rizzi at right tackle, and, you know, right up the middle, you know, having really outstanding guys, and Mason Williams and the sophomore from Georgia. You know, Austin Gentle has done a tremendous job, and, you know, Scotty Ellett is really the quarterback of that whole group. He just has an extraordinary feel for being able to make the right calls and, you know, sort of get everybody to play on the same page.
Defensive side, we've talked during the season about the lack of takeaways. You had that come through. Once again, another box was checked with the four takeaways, three INTs, big day there, some big plays that were made defensively. So some positives you can take away there also, despite the final result.
Yeah, and the statistical reality of having four takeaways is, you know, you should win the game. We had a relative drought in that respect. I don't think we'd had a real takeaway other than a couple of Hail Mary at the ends where we picked off. So to have four takeaways, the change of field position, and, you know, you've got to capitalize on that, Bernie. And, you know, that's one of the most, you know, challenging and, you know, really unfortunate parts of, you know, a very unfortunate loss.
And great to see back and having an impact. And with one of the takeaways was your safety, Max Jones.
Yeah, this was, as people may or may not know, Max blew out his ACL a year ago.
Yep.
And to have him back finally in the stretch run of the Ivy League for us is tremendous. Max is one of those kids that is, you know, like a lot of Harvard kids, just amazing. He's super smart. He's a tremendous football player, unbelievably high character kid, and, you know, certainly it's hard to, it would be hard to find many kids that are more popular and more respected than you would with him on our team.
And when you want to talk about the term takeaway, I got to come back. I thought that might have been one of those ESPN plays of the day. I've never seen a guy really just stealing the lunch money the way that Colby Joseph just ripped that ball away. I don't remember anything quite like that, Coach. That's one that could really get everybody excited on the field, on the sideline, in the stands, and up in the press box calling the game like I was.
It has a humorous ending or start, Bernie. He was a tight end for me initially, and I said to Coach Larkey, I said, Scotty, you got to take him. I think he's going to be a linebacker. He says, why do you say that? I says, because you can't catch a Colt. And Kobe sort of, you know, rolls with the punches on that. And I said, at first I thought it was an interception, and of course it wasn't. And, you know, it was a very important and certainly very athletic play. But I'm glad they didn't throw it right to him.
That might have been problematic. Exactly. Sounds like the footage they have, Coach, of the practice time for David Tyree going into that Super Bowl against the Patriots, where I don't think he caught a ball all week before that Super Bowl for Tom Coughlin. So good to note there on Kobe Joseph with that play, outstanding play. And
well, Kobe's a good athlete and super smart kid, and he will figure out whatever he needs to do to become an outstanding linebacker when some of these guys graduate.
No question, no doubt about that. And you look looking ahead here, and final two games to close out this 2022 season. Penn team on the road. It's been a game that oftentimes not as much factoring in this year as in the past. Sometimes teams have come in, you've come in, and then Al Bagnoli going back. Both teams undefeated. Not quite the stakes, but Penn still has some aspirations. You're mathematically alive coming into this game against Penn. I always look back and how little that preseason poll means. Penn was, I guess, not really as highly regarded coming into the season, but as you look and now assess their season and having the body of work of their season, I guess they've really surprised some people with what this Penn team has done. Maybe it hasn't surprised you as much, but overall they've had an outstanding year.
Maybe not so much, but I agree, Bernie. They are the most improved team in our league, and it all starts with defense at any level. And, they are big, really big, strong, and physical, too deep up front. They've played tremendous defense. They've held teams to a lot of low scores. And the reality is, we're coming out of the Columbia game, out of the proverbial frying pan, right back into the fire with UPenn, because it's the best UPenn team I've seen in at least 6 or 7 years. Mm.
Going back to your head coach that you saw last week with Al Bagnoli, it's been a while. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and even the last time, we played Al, his last season at Penn, we spanked them pretty good.
Yes.
But this is a much different team than we saw in that game as well.
The challenge this week on the road at Franklin Field, the Crimson and Penn, as we come down a little bit further down the stretch, headed towards the game a week hence. Coach, thanks very much. Appreciate your time as always here, and best of luck on the streets of Philadelphia this Saturday with you and the Crimson.
Well, thanks, Bernie. I think overall the effort and work ethic and overall character of our players has been really tremendous. But we have a very little margin for error in the next 2 weeks. And, if we practice like we did yesterday, we're going to be in good shape. But like I said, a very, very good and much improved University of Pennsylvania football team.
Harvard coach Tim Murphy joining us here this week on Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined in the first of our two Crimson profiles. We're going to start on the defensive side. It was a big week for takeaways on the defensive side, and this guy was right in the middle of it. And cornerback Alex Washington, a senior. Boy, can it be possible. Senior from Hoover, Alabama. Alex, welcome to the show, and great to have you back.
Hey, glad to be back.
Well, Alex, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster here down the stretch here for the Crimson. Obviously, not the final result that you wanted on Saturday, but great once again to see that the takeaways were back. Three picks for the secondary. You had one of them, and that's something that hopefully is going to help you out here in the final two games as you get ready to face Penn and Yale.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's always good when the defense can get turnovers and get off the field. So, honestly, just doing anything we can to help the offense out and help the team get a win.
No question about that. Also, as far as the secondary is concerned, you welcome back a guy. I'm sure it was exciting for everybody and a real lift for everybody to get Max Jones back. He's had quite a long road to come back from his injury situation.
Yeah, Max is such a crucial guy to our team. So it was so good, seeing him out there, seeing him get an interception. We were so proud of him because he put in so much work to get back to that point. So. Love to see that for him, and hopefully he can get another one next week.
Absolutely. That's certainly part of the game plan. As far as your season, Alex, personally, very active in terms of your influence defensively, your impact, 29 tackles from your cornerback position, 22 solos. You got a couple of picks. You've broken up four passes. What about your overall assessment? Many occasions you get the top receiver on the other side to match up and go mano a mano week in and week out as we watch.
Yeah. You know, I'm really just going out there every week trying to help the team as much as possible. Some weeks that's, you know, in the run fit a little bit more, getting more tackles, and then some weeks it's covering guys, chasing them around the field, you know, making PBUs and getting interceptions. So anything I can do to help the team, I'm willing to do.
And as far as the Crimson coming up this week, you heavily, I would think, at this point into your preparation for Penn. What are some of the challenges that this Penn team is going to present? I think that they've probably, if you look at a team that's been a surprise team in the Ivy League, that's why you throw those preseason polls out the window a lot of times. That Penn is, I think, maybe surprised some people with just how solid they've been this year. They've had a pretty impressive season so far.
Yeah, they're solid. They have a solid quarterback. He's had a great year, and then they have good wide receivers as well. Two guys that played last year that came back and having, you know, that's a solid performance all year. And then the running backs are also really good. So all around they're just good. They have a good scheme. So it's definitely going to be a challenge, but I think we're up to it.
Indeed. And one of the things that's been very impressive for the club all year has been how resilient this team has been. You think right back from game one against Merrimack, and I think, you know, many people might have written you guys off. You didn't write yourselves off with that big comeback, and there's been games where you've bounced back within games and from week to week, and I'm sure that that's been a big part of the focus this week to be able to bounce back and finish strong and keep hope alive here the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we believe we can beat anyone we play. Coach Murphy harps on that, and we genuinely believe that. So if we take care of the things we need to take care of, we believe that on Saturday we have a chance to literally be anyone we play, and that's what we live by, and that's how we play.
Indeed the case. I know we had you on last year, and one of the things that's been bothering me as a veteran broadcaster, I hate these double numbers. I'm telling you, the double numbers in offense and defense from a broadcast standpoint, but I think we mentioned about this last year, you have the unique quality of wearing number zero.
Yes, sir.
Not a number that you wore. I think we talked last year. Not a number you wore in high school. I think it didn't have any correlation to anything prior to your career.
Yeah. Like I said last year, the number became available because of the new NCAA rules, and you know, it's something that I wanted to get, and I wanted to be the first player at Harvard to wear it. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me, and I'm like, yeah, let me get zero. I want to rock it.
Absolutely. When anybody goes and looks in the any of the historical archives, they'll see that you were a pioneer there, Alex, with wearing the number zero. That's right. We'll see if anybody else picks that number up, or you might be the only guy for a while. We'll have to check that out.
And, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see if anybody succeeds you. And also noticed that busy and active in the offseason with the Make-A-Play Foundation. Just to give us some insight, I did a little reading on the Make-A-Play Foundation, and just to give us a little bit of an insight about what you do and what you've been involved with during the summer and the off season.
Yeah, so Make-A-Play Foundation is basically like a nonprofit organization that helps like underrepresented college athletes prepare for the corporate world. So either that's, you know, mock interviews or all the way to like, you know, resume prep. And it's like kind of like formatted in a sports way. So the unique thing about it is all of us are minorities and all of us are outside athletes. So it's kind of cool. Like they formulate it in like a sports kind of way. And everybody's like in a team, and you work in teams, and you kind of work on these projects and modules to really just help you be prepared for the corporate world. It's pretty cool.
Indeed. And a great preparation for you. And looking ahead at what the future might bring. And I know that you've got aspirations set to perhaps be continuing your football career beyond this year.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And coming down now, I'm a bit of a reflection. I'm sure going through your mind, your final two games with the Crimson coming up, been quite a journey for you as a guy, for people that maybe don't know the reference, we talked about it more in depth last year, but what was it, back in 2018? We're only talking, what, 4 short years ago that you, a gym rat, a basketball guy, said, I think I'll give football a try.
Yeah, I mean, just reflecting on my journey has been quite a journey. Really just grateful and blessed to be in this opportunity. You know, I remember going into my senior year, like, didn't get the looks I wanted in basketball, and just I was applying to, you know, just go to regular school, just to be a regular student and get my education that way. But football worked out. You know, the guys here gave me a chance, and, you know, I'm so thankful and grateful that I've been able to be here and, you know, on top of that, have a successful career. So, yeah, just thankful.
No doubt it's been quite a run, and your run just beginning in life. No, you also, art and film and visual studies and some of your interests, but law is also, I guess, on the books that you've got an interest in. Perhaps law school might be on the horizon for you.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Either that or business school. I haven't really much made my mind up, but we'll see.
That'll be a coin flip. Coin flip, if you win the toss, take the wind and maybe go to law school. There you go. Alex, thanks very much. Great to have you come back on the show and join us here. And all the best here coming down the stretch, and a strong finish for you and that Crimson defense, hopefully leading the way against Penn here on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Alex Washington, now a senior. Yep, he's back with us this year as a senior. Senior cornerback out of Hoover, Alabama. Our guest here on Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett, pleased to have now on the offensive side of the ball another veteran, a senior, one of the leaders of the offensive line who's had an outstanding season, opening holes in particular for Aiden Bourguet, protecting Charlie Dean and Luke Emge, and making it all happen for the Crimson offense. And great to have with us the left tackle, the senior, Alec Bank. Alec, a California, Cota de Casa, California, down in Orange County. Alec, welcome to the show, and great to have you with us.
Hi, Bernie. Thanks for having me.
Well, Alec, I have been so impressed with this offensive line over the course of the year, and with my weekly time with Tim, we call it the conversations that I have with Coach Murphy, the way that this unit has come together, and I think I can speak for everybody, especially Aiden Bourguet, the way that this unit has come together. It seems like you guys are having a lot of fun, and when you're in that rhythm as an offensive line and opening holes, and the backs are finding those holes, doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Yeah, no. We definitely have a great group up front. We got 3 guys returning from last year, and 2 new guys at right tackle and left guard with Jake Rizzi and Austin Gentle, and they've just been 2 great additions. And having Aiden Bourguet in the backfield just makes our job easy, because the communication, the way he plays, just works so well.
He's had a big year. He is only the 8th in the long history of Crimson football, the long and storied history of Crimson football, only the 8th to achieve 1,000 yards. And I'm sure he'd give the game ball to you guys and give the credit to you guys. I always, whenever I talk to an offensive lineman, usually the answer is pretty much the same. But if you have your preference as far as being on a drive and being in a run blocking situation, a pass protect, what gives you the most satisfaction and pleasure there as the left tackle?
I mean, just doing whatever I can. I mean, whether it's being on backside cut off or front side opening up a hole, playing off the line is definitely one of the least selfish positions you can play on the football field, because one of the most unnoticed positions, but kind of just doing whatever we can to help. It's always awesome getting touchdowns for Aiden, because he's one of my roommates.
Oh,
so
okay.
We have a great relationship, and just being able to see him succeed is so fun.
He's one of your roommates over in Adam's house then?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And as far as the closeness, the camaraderie, you know, one of our sponsors on the broadcast is Augie Gourmet, and I remember talking to Steve about the fact that the offensive linemen enjoy the breakfast sandwiches over there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was over there this morning, actually. over there getting a couple of sandwiches talking with Steve.
Yeah, Steve. No, Steve's a great guy. I've got to know him, and he said, "Yeah, that's I used that on the broadcast. Official choice of the offensive line. Those breakfast sandwiches, fortifying you guys. Getting you guys ready to go." And mentioned about boy, Gay has had a great year. It's also been a terrific year for the quarterback play. Charlie Dean, I believe, 13 touchdown passes, only two picks this year. Luke Gamgee coming to fill in. You guys have also protected effectively and soundly over the course of the year to give the quarterbacks time to throw to a great array of receivers on this team.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a big testament just to how hard we've worked this offseason, starting the moment last season ended, going into spring ball, winter workouts, and even having a good group of guys up here over summer, and just how hard we've worked together, worked with the quarterback, communicating with coaches, just because we knew last year in terms of protection, it wasn't to the standard that we'd hoped it'd be. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we really wanted to work on. And especially graduating two guys last year, we know it's something that there were going to be questions about, and we wanted to come in and have there be no doubt that we're one of the best pass protecting lines really in the country, if you look at it statistically. And it's just something we take great pride in. We want to give the quarterback all the time in the world just because he is such a great talent, has such a great arm, and allow him to make those great throws.
And no question, Charlie really stepped up, and I know from really the first time that I had a chance to see him against Georgetown back a year ago, he can make all the throws. He's got the time and the receivers, and this offense can really be productive, very explosive potential there.
Mm-hmm, definitely. You know, a lot of potential.
No question. And your journey to Harvard, as far as recruiting, coming out of Orange County, a lot of great high school football is played in Orange County. It's a great feeder system to programs really all around the country. What about your experience with Harvard from a recruiting standpoint, and why you decided to make the journey across the country and come and be part of the Harvard football tradition?
Yeah, so I mean, playing high school football in Orange County, it's one of the best in the country if you look at it top to bottom. Very competitive all around, and really started talking with Harvard spring of my junior year is kind of when my recruiting picked up, and kind of talked to them here and there as spring and summer went on. And then I worked a couple camps where Coach Johnson, the defensive line coach, and my recruiting coordinator went to and watched, and they eventually offered me. And I kind of sat on it for a couple of months. I had a couple other opportunities, but just looking at the offer and the opportunity that it had, just something I couldn't pass up on. And just coming across the country for me wasn't a big deal because both my parents were born and raised in New York. I've been on the East Coast a good amount. I have a ton of family here, and that wasn't as much of a shift or a shock for me. And it was just really an opportunity I couldn't pass up on. Come get a great education at Harvard, as well as play some of the best football I could and develop myself into a better football player as well as a better person.
Well, that's good. You had a little bit of background there. It wasn't as much of a culture shock. As I always say, being a lifelong Bostonian, I'm just always amazed as I've traveled around the country in my life how nice people are other than Boston, New York, and Philadelphia. How laid back they are with the experiences I've had in California, where everybody's just very pleasant, very nice for the most part. That's good. You had a little background there to prepare you. Knew what you were in for.
Definitely.
Indeed. I also noticed that your time in high school, the cerebral quality, not unusual, the fact that you came to Harvard, but you would make the line calls from your tackle position.
Yeah, no, I was one of the older guys on our line across the board, and just our center would sometimes need some help with communication just because he was a younger guy, and I would just try and help out in any way I could, and whatever I could see. Definitely has come a long way from high school in terms of understanding football, but kind of at that base high school level, I would just do whatever I could to help the line or help the offense.
A two-time All-South Coast and All-Orange County your senior year. Also, you talked about your recruiting to Harvard junior to senior, and you were able to get into a program where kind of get yourself prepared for college with some significant weight gain. I read, where was it, 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day? If you don't mind me asking, what were you eating to make sure it was the right type of weight? And I hope it wasn't burgers and fries, I'm sure.
No, it wasn't. My dad really helped me a lot with it, with kind of just tracking food, chicken, red meat, carbs, kind of whatever, to try and put on the weight. Because throughout high school, I was kind of a lighter kid.
Yeah.
I think my freshman year of high school, I was about 175 pounds.
Wow.
So I've definitely come a long way, and it's been a long process to kind of work with my body in order to maintain it as well as put on weight. So definitely wasn't easy, and something that I'm still working on, and trying to understand and what's best for my body and what will work best.
And I know influence also, when I read the name, and boy, that resonated with me as an NFL fan my whole life, really, Jesse Sapolu. The former 49er, four-time Super Bowl champion, one of the mainstays protecting Joe Montana. And you had an opportunity to participate in his O-line camp. I believe it's called the Men in the Trenches.
Yeah, no, I started going there my sophomore year of high school and went there all throughout high school. And even when I'd go back in the early years of college, I would go and work with him and do private lessons. What he's done for me has been unbelievable in terms of development and understanding of the game. Because I went to him as a skinny kid, and he told me when I first went to the camp, he thought I was a tight end there to work on my run blocking.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny to look back on that and just see how far we've come and where I am now, and just the knowledge and everything he's provided, and from his experiences playing and all the guys he's played against, the Hall of Famers, and just the knowledge that he can pass down has been unbelievable.
Yeah, that's quite a journey and mentoring and tutelage that you had there. And speaking of that, I happen to have another, I'd say, connection that I can make with you. Your internship this summer, I was actually over there for lunch and over a couple of times, I think, over the course of the summer with Satrullo Law, with Larry Satrullo, quite an interesting former Crimson athlete that you had the opportunity to spend time with.
Oh, yeah. No, that was an awesome internship. I was able to work there this past summer with Kim Wimberly, Tyler Neville, and David Mazzavanica, and just kind of get a little insight into law. We worked with the litigation team, so kind of just gave us kind of the base rundown in terms of paperwork and how things are filed, and even got to be taken to a courthouse and shown how a little bit of that works with the filing of papers. But it was definitely an awesome opportunity, as well as allowed for me to be out here in Boston this past summer to train.
Absolutely. Nice address down on the Seaport District and with Satrullo. And I'm sure Larry reminded you, it's probably one of those things, records that will never be broken now, Alec, three-sport athlete at Harvard. He led it in three, football, baseball, and of course it was outstanding. His biggest sport was fencing, where he Hall of Fame status in fencing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he'd love to remind us. He called us into his office a couple of times just to talk, just see how we were doing, just kind of sit there and just talk for a little bit.
Great experience. Upcoming now, it'll be Penn on Saturday. Preparation for this Penn defense. Penn has had an outstanding season and a formidable big test coming up on the road.
Yeah, no, Penn's a great football team. Very gap-sound, great team. They got a great defensive line, probably one of the better ones we'll see all year. A lot of guys returning. Great second level with the linebackers and even the secondary. So it'll be a great test, but I feel like with all the preparation that we're doing and just how much we want it as a group, never been around a better group of guys on the offensive line. And it's just something that we strive for each week is to get better. And we just see this as another opportunity. And it's one that we're very excited for.
Opportunity knocking, final two games of the season for the 2022 campaign. Next up, Penn, Franklin Field, in Philadelphia on Saturday. Alec, thanks so much. Great to have you spend time with us here this week, and best to you and the O-line, and fortified with those breakfast sandwiches from Augie Gourmet, and you guys will be ready to go on Saturday.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me.
Alec Bank, senior from Costa de Casa, California, for the Harvard Crimson, our offensive Crimson profile this week here on Inside Harvard Football.